the best of the week on Relevant Radio.
So glad to be able to share the faith with you. And if you're not Catholic, I really invite you to do this, okay? Today's a great day to do it. It's a day that Jesus Christ himself, at the Last Supper, instituted the Eucharist. He instituted the priesthood. You know, for centuries, we were all on the same page until we had the great split with the Reformation, with Luther and those 95 theses. And then from there, we see the splinters continue. And it really is unfortunate, but I think you're going to find a beauty, a majesty, a power in the faith. So if you're on the fence, and you say, yeah, there's something about Catholicism that has always intrigued me or drew me, I invite you to explore it. All you have to do is go to your local, find a Catholic church and say, hey, I want to talk to a priest, and tell the priest, I'm just curious about the faith. There's no commitment. You don't sign a paper. You don't, you know, you're not going to draw blood. They'll simply invite you to learn more. And they'll either recommend material for you or invite you to what they call an RCIA class. It's a way that you can learn a little bit more about the faith. There are great organizations out there that have tons of information. For example, if you are a fallen away Catholic, and you might say, Drew, I like Relevant Radio, but you know, I just am so bored at church, or I just, you know, I don't need organized religion. You know, I have a relationship with God. Yeah, I know, we hear that a lot. Check out Catholics Come Home. Okay, check out Catholics Come Home. If you're not receiving the sacraments, you're doing yourself a tremendous disservice. You're doing your eternal soul a tremendous disservice. And, you know, this is all part of the great deception of the evil one. This is all part of what Satan, you know, is dancing with joy because of. You know, if he can convince you you don't need the sacraments, he's got a victory. I mean, life is very short. You don't know the day or the hour. And I'll tell you what, our immortal souls, they live forever. And I hope and I pray that I will, when I stand before God, be prepared to meet him. And I pray that for you, too. I really do. And I would ask you today, and I was thinking about this earlier, so much to talk about this afternoon, but I want to give tribute to our priests who have been, they've been so maligned in the culture. They've been so beaten up. They've been so misrepresented. You know, I know a lot of people left the church because of the scandal. And if you watch the news outlets, like it makes my blood boil, actually, when I see some of these reporters do these packages on priests and sexual abuse. And you would think every man that wore a collar was a pedophile, and that could not be further from the truth. You know, there were some real problems within the church, and that came to light, and that has now been remedied. There's been protocols put in, and we see the numbers have dropped precipitously. One case of abuse is too much, of course, but as a result of it, you know, the church has really taken a beating, and so have the priesthood. I think only 4% of the priesthood was involved in that sexual abuse scandal. That means 96% of men who said yes to God, who are faithful to the vows of their ordination, were swept up in that. And it really is a tragedy. It really is a tragedy. Our Lady, in a couple of her different apparition sites, she's been appearing around the world. She has asked to pray in particular for our priests, our bishops, and our cardinals. In fact, I remember in Akita, Japan, this is a church-approved apparition back in 1973, where a wooden statue, wept 101 times to a nun. Her name was Sister Agnes Sasagawa. I actually had the privilege as a documentary filmmaker to go there and film her and interview her personally. And spoke to her about the apparitions because the Mother of God appeared to her. And one of the messages there, this was 73. I wasn't there in 73. Of course, I went 20 years later, probably. In 73, when the Virgin was appearing to her, basically, she said to her, you know, the cup is filling up. She warned of what was to come. She asked us to pray for our priest. She reminded Sister to tell the world that Christ exists, that he's an intimate part of life, that he is truly present in the Eucharist. And I was always struck by this vision. Why? Because this was just several years before what would happen. We know in the 80s, the infection, what happened in the seminaries and the church began to take place, come to light in the 2000s, of course. But it was almost like Our Lady was saying, pray, please pray, because Satan is strong and he wants to infiltrate. He wants to attack the sons of mine. And that's exactly what happened. And that message has not stopped. You know, I know I have several friends who are priests, and I've spoken to them many times. It can be a very lonely calling at times. One priest said to me, you know, Sundays is the loneliest day of the week for me. I'm like, what are you talking about? You've got Mass. He goes, Drew, it's when all that is over. And we go back, you know, to my rectory, and I'm there alone. It used to be that there was fellowship. There were a lot of priests. Rectories were filled. You know, people would invite the priest to their home for dinner. You know, there was a lot going on. We don't see that anymore. Yet those men are always there for us. She was very, very honest with me and open about some men that he knew. I mean, addiction can easily creep into the priesthood because Satan has a hatred and enmity for these men. And you might see alcohol, you might see pornography, you might see other things. And I'm not saying this to diminish these men, please. And I hope no one interprets it as that. There's a lot of men who that does not happen to. If you have a strong prayer life, if you are close to God, if you fast, if you frequent the sacraments, that is your spiritual armor. That is your protection. And it goes for laity as well as for priests. But, you know, at the end, you know, there is a saying I once heard that the devil has no knees. Satan was once compelled by God to show himself, you know, to this desert father. There is a story about, I think it was Abbot Apollo. The most striking thing about Satan that the saint saw was that the devil had no knees. That's what he said. The inability to kneel was his point. The inability to kneel in humility before God is the very essence of the diabolical. Why? Because the devil despises humility. That's why he hates Our Lady. That's why he hates a humble soul. That's why he is powerless over a soul that is prayerful and humble. That's why he hates the sacraments. That's why he hates confession. Satan's hatred against that sacrament is powerful for a number of reasons. One, it liberates you from it. It takes those hooks out of you. It breaks those chains. But he has a seething hatred directed against priests. Why? Because they see our humility as we kneel before God. It's the priest who lends his voice to God. We hear him absolve us. We hear him say, your sins are forgiven. It's as Faustina said, it is not the priest that you encounter, but it is Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord told her. He's only hidden by the priest. But when you go to confession, you kneel before Jesus. That's why Satan hates our priests. He hates them. Hates them. The very end of our lives, at the sacrament of the last rites, it will be the priest that anoints you, and who lends his hands, those hands of Christ, the loving hands that will anoint you and send you on your final journey. I pray to God I have that privilege. So, Lord, hear my prayer. And when that time comes, when you close your eyes for the last time on earth, it's the voice of a priest that will walk you into eternity. And then you open your eyes for the first time and you look in the face of God. I mean, think about that. Think about the beauty of these men. The vocation that they have. Without priests, you would have no Eucharist. You'd have no sacrament of reconciliation. No one to administer those rites. You know, Pope John Paul II told us that prayer united with fasting, it is the most powerful force in the entire world. It's the most powerful force in history, in human history. Prayer and fasting. And I believe that because with prayer and fasting, Our Lady says you can find ways out of situations that have no way out. You're facing an impossible situation. Try prayer coupled with fasting. All right? Do those two things. If you have somebody addicted, pray and fast. If your marriage is in trouble, pray and fast. If you are weak in faith or somebody you love is, pray and fast. And today, and this is my point why I'm bringing this up. I it was put on my heart earlier today as I was spending time with the Lord. We need to pray for our priests. You know, I pray for myself and I pray for family and I pray for you. And, you know, I don't always specifically remember these beautiful men. And today, as a way to say thank you for the time they baptized your child or performed that wedding or gave you that beautiful sacrament of reconciliation, that sacrament of mercy, or gave you the Eucharist, were there for you or your loved one while they were in the hospital ill with the sacrament of the anointing, the sick, or gave last rites to somebody you love. Let's pray for them. Pray for and support priests who serve us in so many ways. You know, they preach the word of God. They give you the sacraments, they bury the dead, they witness your marriage, right? They counsel you in difficult times. The church, the life of the church, would not exist without them. And again, you keep hearing the media talk about this separation between the hierarchical church and the real church of people. Neither one of those churches exist, okay? That's a false dichotomy. The church cannot exist without priests. I mean that literally. If we didn't have priests, we wouldn't have the church because we wouldn't have the sacraments. And without the saving grace of the sacraments, there would be no reason for the church to exist. And it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So let's pray today. Let's fast for that. If you could do that, I'll tell you what, it would do wonders for these beautiful men who are attacked by the evil one. I often hear that, you know, you and I all at birth were given these guardian angels, but priests are given extra angels because of their ministry. Why? Well, because Satan targets special demons. He knows the weakness of these men. They're human just like us. He knows what they can do for us and for our salvation and our souls. And those demons will do whatever they can to attack those men, whether it is through temptation, whether it's through apathy, whatever it might be, you know. So pray. I'm going to share something I heard years ago at a conference I was at. It's called The Hands of Holy Orders. It was written by Larry and Mary Sue Eck. I think Bob and Rita, I think their last name is Bokey, if I can remember correctly. We'll put this up on our Twitter page so you can share this. But let me just share this. I'll share a part of it. Might be a little bit on the long side, but let me just see. I'll share a part of it with you. And they write this. They say, look at the palms of your hands. And remember back to the day when your bishop anointed them and sent you forth to love and to serve us. This is written to priests. Remember the plans you had that day that your hands gathered and ministered to your people. Think of the hands, young and nervous, which have joined in the sacrament of matrimony. Think back to the babies these hands have baptized, and think of the children these hands have prepared for First Communion and confirmation. Think of the hundreds of homilies these hands have written, carefully choosing words that transform lives. Think of the countless times these hands have been held up in blessing and forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation. Now think of your last Mass and so many others when you took plain bread and wine into those hands and changed them into the body and blood of Christ. Think of the hands, our hands, which you place his precious body and the cup of his precious blood. Think of the retreats and the missions, the days and the nights of renewal that these hands have prepared. Think of the people these hands have gathered and touched and sent forth. Think of the times these hands have reached out and grasped our lives, our prayer circle of love. Think of these hands, young and nervous, which your hands have joined in the sacrament of matrimony. Think of the sick in mind and body who have come seeking help and have left with hope alive in their hearts again. Think of the dying bodies these hands have anointed into paradise. Today, we anoint these hands anew with our love, with the love of the entire Catholic family. If ever in the days ahead you feel lonely and discouraged, please remember these words. Please hold up your hands and look at them, and remember how they fed us the bread of life, how they brought hope back into our lives, how they comforted us, healed us, and welcomed us home to the church again. We wish we could take you by the hand and stand at the busiest intersection in town and shout to the world, look, everyone, this is our beloved priest in whom we are well pleased. These hands of yours are the hands of the Sacrament of Holy Orders. We reverence them, and we cannot live our lives without them, without you. Thank you for faithfully loving and serving us. We are so proud that you are our beloved priests. Again, that is called The Hands of Holy Orders, written by Larry and Mary Sue Eck and Bob and Rita Bokey. And feel free to share that with your priests. And please, today in a special way, remember him. Pray for him. Pray for your priests, your bishops, and your cardinals. They need it, and we need it. Hey, like what you just heard? Then share it with your family and friends. And thanks for listening.